So I had, by the way, I had a computer issue this morning.
Of course. Yes.
Somebody turned off the tower, but the we actually got towers that aren't from 1998.
Yep.
And so it's like this little thing, and I was on all fours trying to find it. So all my Tech Tuesday stuff is on my laptop, which has no battery. So if I unplug it, it'll die.
Oh, my gosh. And I you mean, were in frame when I started this, but you're probably...
Well, I'm a little flustered. I can put my cheaters back on and not feel bad about it they come and shame me in my age. And Matt, by the way, your mic will be on if you want to chime in. Feel free.
Yeah, thank you.
What we do is we go through... Eric finds a bunch of tech-related stories... And we talk about it, and then he posts them on his Facebook page. And, you know, for me, you know, I would say there's a bunch of names that I don't know much about. I mean, there are names that heretofore, RingCentral, Azure, but I know it's part of a big company, and Namecheap. I mean, like, where do they come up with this crap? But we'll start with a name that everybody does know, which is PBS. But this isn't PBS, like... National. This happened in a local market, correct?
It did. This happened in a local market.
A couple of things real quick. He's anti-cloud.
I'm not
He's anti-AI.
Anti-AI. I'm not
anti-AI. So this is an anti-cloud story.
Not at all.
That plays to his...
Not
his,
at all.
Yes.
All right, and we know our lane.
Not at all. It's fact. It's purely just about what to be aware of. So PBS backed up their data in a data center called Iron Mountain, right? But they used a third party that was on that data center to back up their software, back up the system using their software. That company went out of business. So PBS has got 70 years worth of information that they're going to lose, and they're suing the data center. Data center has no access to your data. They sure better not have access to that data. The software should have been encrypted, and the backup should have been encrypted. And so my point of bringing this up is, when this happens a lot in our client base.
Is you don't like the cloud.
No. You have to know the shared responsibility matrix. And actually, you have to know how a backup works. Having your backup just go to the cloud is not a backup. You need another copy of it somewhere.
So why use the cloud at all? Just because you can share it then? If it's not stable.
It's not that it's not stable. It's just that people don't realize when the cloud dissipates, you're the one holding the bag. So in this case, the company goes out of business. All your data is encrypted and properly protected, except you can't view it, and the data center can't do anything about it. They can't go ahead and have a judge say, give them all your servers and all your drives so they can restore their data. It's encrypted. The judge doesn't even get it. And again, whoever is working in IT for PBS doesn't get it. They should have had a copy locally or additional copies. You can't just have one shot at your data. It has to be at multiple locations. We've been saying this for 30 years. It's on Computer Talk with Tab. You need multiple shots at your data. And when you put it in one data center, one cloudy basket, Brian, you find out what happens when it goes away. Okay. So I'm not anti-cloud. I'm anti-dingling. You got to pay attention to what you're doing, and you got to do the whole job.
But you're anti-cloud if cloud is your only...
Correct.
Right.
Well, you can use multiple clouds. They could use a second cloud. They would have been fine. But no, they didn't do
that.
So
are you saying that, though, they should have been storing this stuff on premises as well?
A second copy or a second cloud. You can't assume the one place you're sending it is going to be there forever.
You emphasized ass. he's Eric Semmel. Again, he's from Tab Computers. It's Tech Tuesday.
Did you see my other article I sent over about MSG? Madison Square Garden?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you wanted to see that one.
I mean, that was honestly, if I was going to go through all today, that's the only one that really interested me.
I thought it might. That's why I sent it to you late on.
But anyway, Computer Talk with Tab, Saturdays 9 to 11 here on WTIC. And of course, you can go to all Tab Computer for all your computer needs. let's talk about MSG then. So I guess Wired did an article that they basically categorized their Nick fans, and one category was like LGBTQ. And MSG says, first of all, they've sued for libel,
right?
And they say they do it because they want to know what events they can promote to others. But the implication is that they don't want too many LGBTQ celebrities at their games.
That isn't even the angle that I was going, but it's possible. The issue that I bring up is because when we talk about breaches, Brian, it's one of the more boring things that we talk about. You don't like us talking about breaches, right?
Because they happen all the time, and I don't even know what matters because everyone's got everyone's information anyway. That's why.
This is my point. Right. So basically, Madison Square Garden was breached. Basically, Shiny Hunters went and said to them, hey, what's your password? And they gave it to them. All the data was taken from Madison Square Garden. They were given a ransom note. They didn't pay it. Shiny Hunters then post the data on the dark web, and Wired goes out and takes a look at it. And here's where the embarrassing part happens. You didn't pay the ransom, which you still may not have had the guarantee that they would have hidden it. But now all your embarrassing internal corporate functions are available, and you're going to sue the reporter for reporting it? That seems pretty gross. Whether or not, whatever they were doing, the point is here, you need to make sure you protect your data. And in this case, yes, they were keeping a dossier. I mean, did you ever go to Madison Square Garden? You're a powerful member of the media, and they could have a little rating on Brian Shachtman. What you're going to post about MSG? Yeah,
not wealthy.
Yeah, well, it's not
nosebleeds.
It's not that. It's about whether or not you're going to positively rate them or have enough of a following that's going to impact them. So they actually had a dossier that they're building on their actual people who are visiting MSG, and MSG doesn't like that, according to the report. So suing the reporter for the data that's available does seem kind of silly to me. But the point is, you need to protect your data. You can't – if I can call up and just say, what's your password, and you give it to me, clearly you have a problem with security awareness training. You have a problem with two-factor authentication. You have a problem with giving people too much access to too much stuff. You haven't done a good job of protecting your data and avoiding this embarrassing
aspect. I gravitated toward the content of the story,
which is a good story. People why should watch it.
Why are they doing that?
And right.
I'd like
– You're right.
I mean, when you sue for – well, libel, was it defamation or libel? I can't remember which one it was.
I want to say, yeah, either one. I don't
know. If Wired got the information and the information's true,
right,
then they don't have a case.
Correct.
But to me, it was like, well, how are they sort of profiling people?
Well,
that's what interests me, is like, why are they doing it and how are they doing
facial
it?
Facial recognition technology they're using.
It's very embarrassing for MSG regardless. And they're suing just to try to save some face.
Yeah, well, it's too late.
Yeah. Eric Semmel joining us here. Of course, Tab Computers, Computer Talk with Tab 9 to 11 on Saturdays here in WTIC. Let's go through some of these names that I don't know and then why I should care. We'll start with Ring Central.
Yeah, Ring Central has had a pretty big hack there.
Like, what is it?
Ring Central is a cloud-based voice over IP phone system.
There you go.
It just happens to be that.
Okay.
And they're a good target because just hacking a little locally owned phone system is not a big benefit to the bad guys. If you attack a nice big cloudy target with 1.6 million people on it, you can actually make some money. So the idea here, again, is they were likely impacted by a data breach. And why is this important? So the bad guys now are going to have this information put on the dark web, your name, your phone number, your email address, where you work. And they're going to call up and maybe fish you in the same way they fish Madison Square Garden people with that data. They look legit now. The more data they have on you, the more they can trick you into giving access to your information. So you have to be very diligent these days. Assume anybody calling you from any place is trying to scam you. You almost have to live in the most cynical world now because you can't trust a single phone call coming at you these days. And with these bad guys getting access to all this information, and it's legit information, they can leverage it to trick you so easily. Everything seems legit when they're calling you and saying, hey, what's your password? I'm from such and such. And that's what's happening, Brian.
Right. Listen, I want to talk about the next name.
Yes.
I mean, Azure is part of Microsoft, right?
Azure is part of Microsoft, yes.
But this one is interesting because it's some big name companies were involved.
Yeah, another millions of records were hit. Corporate Azure tenants, McDonald's, Vodafone, TCS, which is Tata Consultancy, they were all compromised with compromised credentials. And this is, again, a big issue. Did these companies not have two-factor authentication turned on where the bad guys were able to use phishing schemes? They were able to use malware that actually harvested your credentials. You need to make sure you have ITDR configured on your tenants so that when the bad guys are in there poking around, making changes to the global admin, you actually get alerted by somebody. And in this case, it looks like these folks may not have had the proper protections in place. This is another big hack. And Azure environments are a scary thing. Brian, that's why I gave you the MSG story.
Yeah. Well, the Trump thing's actually semi-interesting, he's basically saying, if you want to go after hackers, you do it yourself.
I kind of like this. I know this is going to be what could go wrong. But as we've always had this policy, I guess, in America to not unleash our IT experts on these bad guys, these ransomware companies, these guys that do sextortion, these guys that are phishing and doing these scams. We've never allowed private entities to go ahead and go after them and shut them down. We've always relied on the actual company that was being impacted or the FBI or whatever other government alphabet agency that would be involved. This, to me, seems like finally allowing private organizations that maybe are in the business of cybersecurity to be able to make a name for taking down these guys that are hacking us, scamming us, and exploiting children seems like a good idea to me. Of course, something's going to go wrong, right?
Sure. But, I mean, the Russia and China,
That's a state business.
They force the smartest people to work for them.
Yeah.
And here, private industry has always been way ahead of the government. Mm-hmm. So there's been more sort of public-private partnerships in technology that I think is good because the government's always behind. So whatever we can get from the smarter people, because smarter people are making more money, whatever we can get help from them, it's probably good. But there are, I'm sure, unintended consequences to come.
You go after the wrong bad guys, you might end up with some cement shoes. Yeah. But again, I think making some money on taking down the bad guys is a good thing. At least hanging your hat on it would be a good thing. So let's do it. Let's unleash them.
It's good to see you. Sorry about the chaos. That was chaos.
My pleasure.
Hopefully I'm in frame a little bit. But I tried to come back. I'm a fidgeter. We got to run. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab 9 to 11 on Saturdays. And Tech Tuesday usually at 8:20. But today he was flexible enough to chill.